This is Armon. Welcome to the Polymath Project, and welcome to Jersey City. We're in the B-Labs Tech Studio. Today is Friday, September 22nd, 2017, and this is the first episode of the show. So what is this show about, and what is a polymath? Well, first of all, this is not a passive talk show. We're not looking for people to listen passively or watch. It's a collaborative project. What do I mean by that? We're going to be having on the show entrepreneurs. We're going to be talking about organizations that are trying to change the world, purpose-driven people that are here to help humanity in whatever way they can with whatever skills they've been able to attain. And hopefully, through that process, we'll be able to invite you as the audience to collaborate with us, to take on some of the challenges that we present for problems that the world has that still don't have solutions, or maybe have solutions, but how do we scale those so that others can benefit from them? I myself have spent the last 20 plus years of my life not only going internal to find out what makes me tick, how I can find more happiness and peace internally, but how I can then bring whatever I can to the world. What is my purpose? What am I here to do? Is the question that I ask myself every single day, and then I try to act on that feeling and the answers that come up. A polymath is an ancient term, something that started in medieval times and through the Renaissance to describe people like Da Vinci, people like Einstein, those that saw the world differently, those that had multiple facets, multiple talents, multiple professions, and were able to combine holistically their different thought processes and different skill sets to help the world, to help society at those times, and even inspire us to this day. I feel like in our modern society, although we have a tremendous amount of talented people and we do have polymaths, we need more of that type of thinking to come to the forefront. We've gotten too accustomed to siloed thinking, to specialized career paths where everyone is focused on doing one thing and one thing very well and getting paid for it. There's nothing per se wrong with that, but sometimes what that leads to is, again, a very narrow focus and one that doesn't open us up to how we might be able to help contribute to solving some of the world's biggest challenges. So the purpose of this show is to invite those that can inspire the rest of us to focus on personally how we can bring this type of creative thinking into our own life to discover what our purpose is and how to act on it every day, and then how to align ourselves with or possibly start as entrepreneurs organizations that can help contribute to the betterment of humanity. The world needs it now more than ever, and that's what we're here to talk about. That's what we're here to inspire you to participate in. We're going to have several segments. We'll take a break right now and be back with our first one, where we focus again on how entrepreneurs and small businesses could really impact the world for the good of all. We'll take a break and we'll see you in a minute. Welcome back. So one of my passions that I've spent over the last 20 years focusing on is entrepreneurship. And when I think about small business and all the small business owners and entrepreneurs that I've worked with, the main thing that comes to mind is the struggle. It is a struggle. It's not easy to start something. It's not easy to grow something that didn't exist before. Whether you're an entrepreneur with a new idea that people haven't thought about before, that's a tremendous challenge, or just starting a business that people do know, a restaurant or some common products that people buy, and being a new player in that field has its own challenges as well. The struggle, the challenges, and the lessons that you learn through the process, that's what I've, and as a team with the agency Blue Liner that I've worked with for the last 17 years, we've developed a system, a framework that we call the seven pillars. And what I'd like to do is share a nugget. Each episode, we'll have a segment on the seven pillars and take a component of it and distill it, talk about the principles and discuss some case studies and how those can help entrepreneurs and small business owners to be balanced, to be able to have enough fuel for the long haul, because it is a real journey, it is a marathon, and oftentimes these entrepreneurs need support, otherwise they can run out of steam or have personal health issues because they're working so hard. So the seven pillars is geared towards really optimizing and creating efficiencies, bringing learnings to small business owners and businesses, efficiencies that help them operate more smoothly and more harmoniously. So what really drives the whole methodology, as we call it, or seven pillar system, is these seven core principles. And so let's take a quick look at what those are. We have the list here on the screen. Time mastery, goal-oriented, holistic, innovation-driven, business intelligence obsessed or scientific, organic and agile, and collaborative or collaboration. These are the seven essential principles. We won't have time to dig into all of those today, but I'd like to focus particularly on the first two, time mastery. It's something that a slight nuance on time management. Time mastery is really the place that we get to where we feel like our schedule, the way we balance between all the different responsibilities we have in our lives, from personal to spiritual to work, obviously, to our family life, where we feel like it's in a nice place. It's a nice balance. There's an efficiency to it. We're able to achieve a lot of the things or many of the things that we aspire to without necessarily taking away or taxing our general sense of energy and our sense of wellness without impacting our health. So time mastery is that place that we can get to. It's an ideal, it's a goal, and it's the first principle, because your time is your energy, it is your life. It's not just something we tick boxes on or fill out a timesheet at the end of the week at our company, as some people take that to be. It's really, where are you choosing to spend your energy? Where is your attention going? Are you really present in those things that need your energy, the challenges and the problems that need your solving? Not only need your time, but they need your awareness and your best foot forward, your best energy. And that's something that typically when you see entrepreneurs in small businesses, you have a few people trying to do many things and wear many hats, which again is a very polymythic type of a concept. You know, you do need to be able to be skilled at varied things, but you can also lose a lot of energy when you jump around to too many things, that you get distracted and you get kind of fragmented and fractured. So there's a balancing point between being able to jump around to different things, but also to be able to be efficient, to be harmonious, you know, within yourself and with your team, and to really understand what the priorities are. And that's really a key component of this principle of time mastery, is always knowing what the most important things are and being able to focus on those, which brings us very nicely as a bridge into the second core principle, which is to be goal-oriented and to know your goals. So it really, you see how it blends very nicely with time mastery, because you really need to know what the most important things are to do all the time. And that could change every day. That could change within the day. You might start the day with a list of the three most important things, with number one, two, and three, and all of a sudden some emergency comes up with, on a personal level or with your best customer, and you need to be able to be flexible enough and resourceful enough to make the switch, even if it's frustrating and it wasn't what you initially planned. So having goals, not just within the day, which is a short period of time, but within a week, within a month, within a quarter, within a year, within a five-year period, and then we get towards something called the life vision, and that starts connecting to our purpose. So all of these different periods of time really connect back to right now, this present moment, and am I doing right now something that's in alignment with my long-term purpose, my long-term vision? So it really all does connect. Can we remind ourselves to be aware of that and bring ourselves back to the present moment, back to a place where we're working on what we ought to be working on? And if we're in charge of a company of, let's say, 10 people, or other people in the company working on what will best serve not only them, but the company, and making sure there's an alignment with everyone that's in a particular position, doing what it is that they're supposed to be doing, or what would be most optimal for them to be doing. So you can see how these two principles work together. And again, we're generalizing here, but over the course of different episodes of the show, we'll have entrepreneurs on talking about these very issues. Now I can talk about them from personal experience and how I handle this, and then how I encourage, you know, other people that work for the various companies that I'm involved with through B Labs Ventures and Blue Liner. We have roughly 50 people that work for us in these organizations, and I make active recommendations to them. I try to show them and provide tools for them that work for me, but I also have to be flexible enough to realize that what works for one person, what might work for me in terms of the way I plan my day, plan my week, may not necessarily work for everyone else. So again, as a leader, being able to have flexibility to a degree, giving people options or letting them come up with their own solutions, yet at the same time, as an organization, trying to standardize so that everyone can get the information they need. And the different perspectives that people have can be respected and, again, kind of synchronize and be harmonious towards a common purpose, towards a common goal, again, as towards the second principle. So you can see how these principles work on a variety of levels. They work on an individual level and what our individualistic focuses and goals are for the day, and it also works on an organizational level. And that's naturally in life where things get, it's hard enough to know what it is our purpose is and what we need to do. Now imagine you have to synchronize with others in a body, in an organization, in a family, in a society. So there's different challenges that are presented at all those levels. And it's really no wonder why the world has so much of the conflict and so much of the challenge, so many of the challenges that it does, when we realize how hard it is just to get that sense of order and alignment within ourselves, not to mention within a relationship with one other person, and how complex that gets in an organization. So this, again, all these challenges we're discussing were all the driving forces behind why we created this framework, the Seven Pillars framework, and this nugget we gave today about principle one and two of the seven core principles will be expanded in future weeks. But for now, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back on the concept of time management and goal setting more from a personal point of view, and we'll talk about that when we come back.
Just Lock. Just better.
All right, welcome back. So continuing with the theme we just discussed with the two core principles that really came from a business-minded and organizational standpoint, we're going to take that over into a personal development paradigm. Something I've been passionate about ever since college. I was 18, 19 when I first started asking myself these questions about the purpose of life, why I'm here, why we're all here. What do we need to do? What's this world about? What's this life about? What's the purpose of everything? And those are big questions. And those questions, I believe, started being prompted by courses I was taking at school and books that I started to read from some of the great philosophers of the past, like Plato and Aristotle. And it really developed in me this thirst for purpose and to connect to my purpose. And what that does and how that translates into my day-to-day life is goal setting. I'm always asking myself what it is I want to do, what I feel that I need to do, what my spirit is calling for me to do, and then how those concepts become tangible in the real world for me is through goals. So around 1996, 97, I started writing my goals down, which has a lot of power in it when you start putting pen to paper and putting aspirations and ideas down, and then putting timestamps on them. I followed different models, different motivational speakers and goal setting philosophies, and found a lot of value in them, and then started to develop my own system. And we call it Time Bug. And what I'd like to hone in on a bit today is something that was a solution I created to what I felt was limitations with some of the current literature and information out there about goal setting, that there didn't seem to really differentiate or have any different types of goals. So I came up with this model. I call it the 7 goal dimensions or types. And we can take a quick look at what they are and just discuss them a little bit and why at least they were important to me and why it's something that we're sharing now through an application that we're building and through, you know, a book that we've written about this topic. We talked about time mastery, and that really connects to this first one on the list. It's having goals centered around our energy and our time. For example, I want to spend more time with my family. Okay, so that starts with understanding what the current reality is. Maybe, and so a lot of people often have those feelings and don't know the actual data, which is fine. We have a sense of things that doesn't necessarily need us to have the numbers, but sometimes when we actually sit down and pay attention to the numbers, it surprises us. So for example, if you ask yourself, how many hours do you sleep in a week, in a night? People would have a general idea, but if you really sat down and took pen to paper for 7 straight days, for 30 straight days, you might surprise yourself and learn something about how consistent your sleep is or what the real number is. And same thing with spending time with the family or any other example we can give. Maybe you want to have more time in the gym or more time running. So this is a nice goal type because it's something we can control. It's very tangible. It's the one that we can actually control the most. And that's why we put it first. And it's something that you might dedicate a lot of time to something. Let's say you have a goal of losing a certain amount of weight, and then you dedicate a certain amount of time in the gym and you don't actually achieve the weight loss goal. You may fall short by a few pounds, but at least you put the time in. So this is how when we vary our goals, you know, according to these types listed here, it can give us a chance to understand better what it's going to take. Maybe we have a goal of, let's say, making a certain amount of money or achieving something in our career. And then we dedicate the time that we thought was needed to achieve that. And again, for some reason, we might have fallen short. That's good science. That's good personal science. We learn that, well, okay, it's not just about the time investment. Maybe I need to actually build a certain new set of skills. Maybe I need to create certain relationships with people that can help me to achieve that goal. So as we start to look at these different goal dimensions, we realize that in our life vision and purpose, we're really taking a broader approach and look at creating goals around all these different dimensions can help us, really help us in our purpose and in our mission, whatever that may be. So let's go through some of the others. The second goal type is achievement and skills. So as I said, it could be running a marathon or learning how to become a programmer or any type of skill you could list here would be something specific. And again, it's another quite tangible one. And I do recommend that you be as specific as possible when you list your goals out, because that helps us in our vision and in our day-to-day start visualizing, you know, that reality, that possibility, and really working, putting all our energy and resources together, working towards that aim. Now, I want to call attention to two of the items on the list here, number three and number five, internal qualities and relationship quality. These are what we might call subjective goals, because you might want to, let's say, have more confidence in certain situations or in general. You might want to be happier in general. So these are kind of psychological, emotional qualities and internal states that only we could really verify, and as well, people close to us can give us a mirror and reflect to us that, yeah, you know, I see that was a goal of yours, and I feel, seems like you're happier. So it's nice to get that feedback from others, but ultimately it's really up to us to understand and communicate how we feel by writing it down and using things like scales is something I recommend. So if we say, well, what do you think your confidence level is right now on a 1 to 10 scale? Well, depends on the situation. Maybe on average it's a 5. Okay, my goal for this year is to actually go up a notch, or maybe 2 notches, to a 7. So then the next question, what would that look like? If your confidence level was a 7 instead of a 5, how would that actually manifest in your day-to-day life? What would that feel like to you? What might you do if your confidence went from a 5 to a 7? Maybe you'd be more confident to talk to your boss or talk to that girl or guy that you've been thinking about, but you didn't feel confident enough to take that step. So it's good to use these kind of metrics, but to also attach them to real life actions that you might take based on feeling a different way. Relationship quality, again, is something that slightly different. I mean, I say again because it's also subjective, but now you're dealing with more than one party. So it could be a relationship with a friend or a spouse or a partner or someone you work with. And now, in this case, if you have those goals, you need some feedback from the other person as well, because you might think your relationship has improved drastically and you feel good about it, and you want to make sure the other person has hopefully some similar feelings as well. And if they don't, that's okay, but it's good to have that dialogue, that discourse. And so it's a little bit of a reality check when you're able to have that conversation with others. So these two that I just mentioned, internal qualities and relationship quality, are typically things that people won't have in a typical, let's say, New Year's resolution or goal setting exercise. And it's something I want to call attention to and note that they're probably more important than any of the others on the list, but they're all important and they can all work together well. Health indicators, number 6. And number 7 here, place and environment, are also two that people don't always think about. I think health, naturally, the most popular goals we have are things like losing weight and quitting smoking, because we want to be more healthy. So that goal type and dimension has a lot of general goals that people could attach that to. Place and environment is one that often gets neglected, or maybe it's something people don't think about enough, but simple things like changing the position of the layout of your room or your office to maybe get more natural light, putting your desk near a place, a window, so to speak. So changing your environment in small ways, or obviously more serious ways, like, well, I need to take more vacations, or I'm considering moving to another part of town which has less noise, less pollution, or maybe a different city. These are place and environment oriented goals. Not to mention the places and environments that you choose to be in every single day often have other people and other factors. So that's something that kind of ties into the nuance of relationship qualities as well. For example, for me, to be specific, I like to work in an environment that's open, that has kind of a lot of space, that's quiet, where oftentimes I can be kind of in my own lab, in this very space that we're filming, which is a very kind of, for me, harmonious and quiet, meditative type of space. So that's something that's important for me. It was a goal that I had, and I was able to create that environment that was conducive to my other goals. So you see how all these dimensions and goal types work together. And again, true to the nature of our show and our concept, it's a polymythic type of thought structure here. It's holistic. It's not about having these siloed goals that are completely separate. It's about seeing how, let's say, one goal we may have, or our overall vision and purpose, actually touches all of these dimensions. So they're all indicators that actually connect with one another. And so I want to encourage you, as you go about your next round of goal setting, if it's something you don't engage in and don't do, highly recommend it. And we actually have a program called the 2020 Life Vision, which is soon going to be released as an app within the next 60 days, certainly within 2017. So you'll be hearing more about it on the show here. But it's a 30-step program to basically walk you through the building and the creation of a life vision. So that's one format that you can partake in. There's many other great ones out there as well. So if it's something you're not doing now, or you used to do and kind of put aside, I recommend taking another look. And it's something you are doing. I'd love it if you took a look at the goal dimensions and types the next time you go about it, and see how it maybe gives some color or another angle or perspective on your approach. So hope that was helpful. And again, every week this will be a segment that we delve into a different component of kind of personal development, time management, life management, and overall vision creation, and helping you basically find your purpose and pursue it with more skill, with more tools. For now, we're going to take a quick break and be right back and wrap things up from there. See you soon.
In India, 50% of our population lives on less than $2 a day, and they have no access to any kind of public health system which can take care of them.
100 years after the first heart surgery, less than 20% of the world's population can afford it. For 80% of the world's population, if they ever require a heart operation, they're going to die.
You see a small child, mother is holding a child, and you tell them that there's a hole in the heart which needs to get fixed. The first question the mother asks in this country is, how much is it going to cost?
The patient and their family should be focused on the healing and the recovery and not having to worry about the finances.
Health City is a vision to change the way that health care is delivered and to provide the highest quality of health care at the lowest price to the largest number of people.
Anyone that doesn't believe that health care is being disrupted outside the boundaries of the U.S. is not watching what's happening in the Cayman Islands, and they're not watching what's happening in India.
We have to find ways of reducing cost. You can no longer spend 18 or 19% of your GDP on healthcare. It's unsustainable.
I believe that India will prove to the world that the wealth of the nation has nothing to do with the quality of healthcare. And once that happens in India, it will be very easy for other countries to follow.
So let's talk a little bit about the state of the world. Something that's near and dear to my heart and part of my purpose is to work with and help build and create companies that have a positive impact on the world in some way or another. Mission-driven organizations. They don't have to be nonprofits, they could be. I mean, to me, whether you're nonprofit, for-profit, or whatever your business structure is just it's a strategy and an approach to trying to achieve something. So that's what I've been focused on, and that's what I've been doing for the last 20 plus years. And I'm very excited about some of the projects and companies that we're now involved in. One of them is what you see on this t-shirt here, and one of the guests we'll have in the coming weeks is David Hull, who's one of my mentors. He's launched this campaign, basically sustainability-based, to help save the planet with a focus on climate change. It's called This Spaceship Earth, and it's a meaningful, highly meaningful, and much needed organization. So that's the kind of thing that we look to highlight on the show, and also the thing that I personally look to be involved in. And yeah, the state of the world, I'm not sure if it's much better or worse than it was hundreds or thousands of years ago. We often get caught up and I think fooled by the concept that we're making all this progress, and certainly technologically and scientifically and in a number of ways, there is progress. There's material progress and progress and an advancement of a certain type of knowledge. But we have to really take a look and see, is that progress and knowledge helping humanity at a general level and a worldwide level? We have 7 billion plus people now on this planet. And how are they living? How are they feeling? Why are we still at war? Why is there still poverty? Why is there still so much difference and disagreement, pollution? And we can go on and on with a lot of the negative challenges we have in the world. And again, I don't want to be all glass half full or glass empty. We try to take, again, a holistic look, admit, accept, and be grateful for the positive changes and evolutions and advancements that have happened, and then ask ourselves, how can we use those to help the challenges that still exist? Or maybe there's some new thinking, new organizations, new tools yet to be developed. One of the ones that we're involved in now, and I'm an investor and supporter in, is actually a social political crowdfunding platform that we're about to launch in October 2017 called The Advocator. And it's a very interesting concept. We'll definitely be featuring the co-founders, David and Darlene Richeson, on the show so they can talk further about their mission and why they feel The Advocator is so important. But I'll tell you from my point of view, as an investor and now a partner in that business, it's something that can really make a difference in the feeling that we have as citizens here in the U.S., and I think it can apply to other countries as well, of feeling disenfranchised, disconnected, disinterested, apathetic about what's happening in our country from a political standpoint, and how that's big corporate power is kind of dominating the way laws are written, and people aren't feeling cared for and appreciated and respected, and that their voice has meaning and that the masses in the middle class and the lower classes and basically the 99%, as you know, the old Occupy Wall Street tagline was, the 99%. What about the 99%? And why does the 1% seem to be who are at the top, at least power-wise, financially, able to manipulate and control the system to further improve and elevate itself at the expense, oftentimes, of the rest? It doesn't seem fair, it doesn't seem right, and there's a lot of people that want to obviously change that, the majority of people. So struggling against corporate power is something that the Advocator is geared towards doing by leveling the playing field, by allowing people to bring coalitions and their causes that they feel passionate about at a federal level, at a local level, to others that can then crowdfund and contribute resources towards those causes, and then utilizing those funds to hire lobbyists that can balance out and fight against the corporate money and power that's on the other side of the equation. So while the system's not perfect, we have to learn how to work within the system that we have to try to help achieve ends that are in the better interest and the best interest of a larger portion and hopefully all of our society. So it's, and obviously there's a lot of different philosophies related to, you know, how to govern and whether it's government's responsibility to help care for people or it's everyone's own responsibility. So without getting too far into that, I do believe that organizations like the Advocator and the people behind it have a great intention, have a great idea, and remains to be seen. We'll find out when the rubber meets the road in the next month and the company launches whether we'll be able to make and have the impact that we had envisioned. So it is, again, challenges like the ones we're facing now, you know, what is it, 8-9 months into a new presidential term with Trump in power and a lot of opinions about it and a lot of potential implications, not just for the U.S., but for the world at large. I certainly have a lot of feelings about it as well that we'll be able to discuss, you know, going forward. But the bottom line is we all have the possibility and the capability to seize control, at least of our own lives, you know, to find what it is we need to do in this world and whatever the situation is, to find happiness, to find peace, and to find purpose. So that's our number one responsibility. And once we're able to feel closer to that and get closer to that, then, or maybe through that process, see how we can apply that concept in partnership with others to helping the world. That's what we're here to do. We want to hear from people that have ideas around solving issues, just like the way the Advocator did, and we're supporting them. And we'll support many other such organizations and forward-thinking entrepreneurs going forward. So that's going to bring us to the conclusion for this, the first episode of the Polymath Project. You'll be able to find more updates on our website and on our social media as well, related to projects we're involved in and projects that we're open to participating in and collaborating on. So until next week, take care, be conscious, and remember to focus on going deeper in and finding your purpose each and every day. Until next time, March 4th.